Welcome back to Coastal Connection. I'm Brian Russo. My next guest is a rebel with a cause, and his cause is to make the most innovative and coolest motorcycles in the business. Kevin Dunworth is the owner of Loaded Gun Customs, a small custom bike shop in Fenwick Island, Delaware, that sits on a long country road a few miles inland from the Delaware coast. And if it weren't for the DeLorean in the car park, or the huge tagged LGC graffiti logo on the side of the building, you might never realize that motorcycles are built here. But Dunworth and his team of two employees have been building bikes and other custom vehicles for almost 10 years. And their work has gotten them featured on the show Cafe Racer on the Discovery Channel, and has attracted the attention and earned the respect of some of the biggest names in the motorcycle industry. I sat down with Dunworth at his Delaware shop to talk about how he believes the motorcycle industry should be as much about art and history as it is about nuts and bolts, and of course, speed. Kevin Dunworth, thanks for being here on Coastal Connection.
Thank you. Yeah, this is cool.
You know, this is a very cool shop in the heart of Southern Delaware. It's kind of the last place I expected to find a vintage custom motorcycle shop. I guess maybe that's a good place to start. Why Southern Delaware?
Well, I grew up in the Ocean City and Berlin, Maryland area, and my wife and I moved away and came back and just, you know, considered this as home. And Southern Delaware was the place that we could get this warehouse space and, you know, afford the square footage.
For anyone who hasn't been here before, kind of paint a picture for what it's like here. I mean, there's bikes everywhere, old school cars. There's a Trans Am that's sitting there. Bikes of every size, shape, color, style. You know, talk about your vision for, you know, what Loaded Gun Customs is.
Well, we always tried to kind of do stuff with more of a performance flair. And, you know, we started just doing, you know, performance bikes and performance modifications to cars to kind of go fast. And then, you know, as we started getting maybe a little bit more mature, we started realizing that, you know, there was a certain point where you could be going too fast, especially for street applications. And we started getting more and more into the historical aspects of why we were doing what we were doing. You know, what made ourselves tick? You know, why do we want to go faster? Why do we need to take a car that was slow and make it faster, or a bike that was slow and make it go faster? What's that human tick? And I started really getting into the, you know, after World War II history era of hot rodding and motorcycling. And, you know, we decided that that's kind of what we, our hobby was, even though our main focus was still performance cars and motorcycles on the front side. And then, you know, as people started learning and hearing more and more about our hobbies, and you know, we kind of go to more and more of these types of events, we just kept getting bigger and bigger, you know.
You know, and it's a very niche market, this that's kind of come to the forefront, custom choppers being on reality television, and it's a market that's kind of grown, let's say, in the last decade. But it's always been around. You mentioned the history of it. Do you see yourself as more a historian, you know, kind of passionate about the art of motorcycle building, and not so much one of these guys that's trying to kind of capitalize on the fact that the niche market is now to the forefront of people's, you know, minds?
Yeah, I think you kind of nailed it. You know, we like to think that we have the philosophy of those older guys, of what made those guys tick, you know, and that's kind of what makes us tick. And it just turned out that, you know, for us that was vintage, you know, mainly because that's what we could afford to work with and everything else. And like we tell a lot of people, I've been riding motorcycles and into these types of motorcycles since my father introduced me to them, you know, 10, 11 years old. The scene, if you will, you know, found us. We didn't find the scene. We've been building the same cafe bikes for, you know, 12, 13 years as our own bikes. You know, we've been riding air-cooled, you know, pushrod sport bikes for a while, and you know, all of a sudden now it's cool. So, you know, we're happy about it, but yeah, we really haven't had to tweak a lot to get into the mainstream of what's happening now, this new growth, you know.
And you know, a lot of people have been, you know, kind of being introduced to what you do here at Loaded Gun Customs because of your involvement with the show Cafe Racer on the Discovery Channel. So, you know, talk about how that kind of started for you, because, you know, how did that come about? How did you get attached with that show, and what's that done for your business?
Ah, wow. Well, to become attached with the guys in Cafe Racer magazine for us was kind of like a dream sequence about 3 or 4 years ago. We were kind of the guys that we saw the guys showing their bikes, and we saw the cool guy show bikes out there, and we were the guys that were riding them up with mud on them, and you know, kind of at any show, there's always a little mini show in the parking lot. And, you know, we started getting some attention from mainly the guy I'd say who found us was Mark Willsmore. He's the owner of Ace Cafe over in London. And I was riding an old a buddy of mine's old Orange Norton. And he came running up, and I knew who he was. He didn't have any clue who I was. And he called a gentleman named Mike Seat over, who was the editor of Cafe Racer magazine. And they said, hey, we're going to start this magazine about cafe racers. And honestly, I kind of laughed, you know, and it's like, okay, whatever, you know, sure. And next thing I know, he was kind of featuring some of our bikes here and there. And he said, hey, you know, about 3.5 years ago, he said, hey, Kevin, we're going to put a TV show together. And same deal, you know, whatever, you know, we'll see. Good luck. And he said, you know, do you think you could build us a bike? And I said, sure. And, you know, about a year later, he said, we're still working on it. You know, we've got you down as one of the builders. And it's like, wow, really? You know, who are some of the other builders? And he told me, you know, guys like Yoshi and Jay LaRosa out in L.A. And I was like, you know, geez, are you serious? You know, these guys are legends to me, you know. And he said, yeah, you know, we think your stuff's there. And, you know, we'd like to have somebody that we could grow with, you know, in the scene. So that's kind of how we got that attention. As far as its effects on the shop, it's absolutely amazing. I mean, we've gone from, you know, struggling locally, kind of thinking what we do is cool and nobody else liking it, to phone ringing off the hook. And, you know, we get calls from England, you know, people just want to say hello. Like, hey, we saw your bike, you know, by the way, it's not real English, but, you know, good job. Or, you know, and we've building a bike currently for a guy in Australia. We have customers in Spain, and we've been manufacturing some of our own parts, all made in the USA. And they're going all over the world. So it's kind of neat. I mean, we're not really paying the bills with any one thing yet. You know, we still have all those things accumulated together, paying the bills. But it's just amazing the overwhelming number of people that are into this and just call to say hello. So it's pretty neat being on the international scene. That's what the TV show has done for us.
Have you found that since you've kind of, you know, made your foray into the small screen and gotten this international exposure, that people are overestimating where it's taking your business? I guess, you know, on the local scene, do people think that, you know, you've quote-unquote made it financially speaking, or put you out to a different market and you still face some of those small business worries and concerns?
I'd have to say again, you kind of nailed it there. It's amazing to us how many people, you know, they think the first question we always get is, you know, how much does Discovery Channel pay you? You know, and they don't pay you anything, you know, and well, how much do you get paid for being on the cover of a magazine? You know, well, they don't pay you anything, you know, and well, how much did you sell that bike for? And you, well, we can't sell that bike because as soon as we sell it, we don't have the TV bike anymore. So we're still, you know, on a struggling, you know, a very small business, you know, struggling locally. Fortunately, our local other business owners, amazingly or not, the bar owners and restaurant owners have kind of come together and kind of supported us, you know, a little bit, you know, here and there with some projects that do fill in the gaps and keep us going. You know, our goals are to obviously become a successful international business, which we're there. The successful part is, you know, trying to make the financial part catch up. So we've invested pretty much everything that we have, you know, all of us individually here, towards those goals. But it is comical. Like, we go to New York City and I went to the motorcycle show and so many people know me. And then you come down here, you know, nobody really knows you. So it's kind of cool still living here. Some of the people that are aware of what's going on, definitely, I think, I feel that we're misrepresented sometimes as being, you know, this big, huge corporate company, you know, and it's like, we're still just three dudes trying to pay our bills, you know.
But when you go up to those places, do you guys feel like you kind of bring this edge of, you know, small town punk rock flair? Do you feel like you're the misfits of the custom bike world?
Yeah, I wouldn't say the custom bike world as much as I would say the motorcycle industry. I mean, the custom bike world has, you know, worse guys than us in it. The motorcycle industry, you know, we want to be players and I'd say movers and shakers with guys that are corporate and be able to influence, you know, where the motorcycle scene goes, you know, as far as what is really cool, you know. And I think that's what's pretty neat about the cafe racers and the vintage bikes that we ride, and the fact that you see so many companies scrambling to build a retro-looking bike, you know, like Triumph's doing it. A lot of these different companies are doing it now because it's bringing so many new motorcyclists into the scene. You don't have to be a quote-unquote biker, and you don't have to be some, you know, 17-year-old kid in full leathers riding a sport bike. I mean, motorcycling's really wild. You get your face is out in the wind, and you're just riding, and, you know, we don't all ride anywhere on horseback anymore, but it's the closest thing I think we could come to just kind of being free, you know, on public highways. And when you want that influence on what guides something that I'm passionate about, you kind of have to be able to fit in with those guys. And to me, it is overwhelming. I'd say I'm overwhelmed every time I go there that, you know, a CEO or a corporate guy is actually pulling me aside and asking my opinion on something. When they actually see what a small operation we are, they always tell us how impressed they are, you know, with what we got going on. But we like to be a little bigger and pull a little bit more weight in that industry, which means, you know, we have to kind of tone down some of our hooliganism, you know, and stuff like that. So.
Enthusiasts are very passionate about what they think either is awesome or cool or really great, what sets something apart. And you mentioned how, you know, you as a small company, as a small player in this game and in this industry, are going up there and turning some very big heads, so to speak. What is it for you when you're creating these bikes? Is it the notion of really great equipment that the gearheads will be like, wow, they put that on that bike? Or is it a sense of just creating something cool?
I'd have to say it's kind of creating something cool. I just like vintage stuff. I think it's amazing. And we've kind of coined the term in the motorcycle industry, which we stole from the car industry, you know, resto mod. I think if these guys, you know, everybody always uses the time traveler analogy. Like if you plumped modern brakes and modern suspension down and a guy that was building cafe racers in the 1960s and you put this stuff down in front of him, would he use it? Absolutely. You know, he'd get the edge over all his buddies. And that's where I like to say that we have more of the philosophy of those old guys than we're necessarily period elitists. The period elitists are, you know, I don't use anything newer than 1965 on my bike. I'm not that way. If I have a 65, I'll put a modern front end on it. You know, if I have a 72, I'll put a 60s parts and I'll, you know, do something else. I like period looking stuff, but I like to mix in modern. I admire like that Japanese anime steampunk period, you know. I like that type of art and stuff a lot. So some of that comes out on our bikes. But what we're, you know, everybody's always trying to categorize us. And the best one that we heard was from a Spanish blog site that, you know, said we take European flair and Americanize it. You know, and I think that's kind of what we're known for. We still have a very American look to a European style, you know, and that's what we kind of go for with a lot of old vintage parts, you know.
So it's kind of that notion of everything that's old is now new again, you know, trends kind of recycling and coming back around. But it seems like you're knowledgeable of that, and yet you're trying to incorporate newer stuff in it as well. Let's go take a look at some of your bikes, and you can kind of show me how that's, I guess, turned some heads in the motorcycle world. All right, so Kevin, tell me about the Triton. And this is the bike that you built for the show, Cafe Racer, on the Discovery Channel. Tell me about what we're looking at here.
Well, this is a pretty iconic bike in Cafe Racer terms. It's a 66 Norton Atlas frame with a 1971 unit construction Triumph motor. So you get the TRI from Triumph and the TON from Norton, and you get the name Triton. We've changed it a bit with a Clubman style tank, which is a very long, lean racing tank for the 50s and 60s era. I handmade the tail section there, and then my friend Dwayne Ballard made the seat for us. We've put very modern suspension on this bike. Front forks came off of a late 90s, early 2000s bike, and the rear suspension came from a custom manufacturer called Racetech.
What we did there is we changed the geometry on the bike and made it very modern geometry with very modern components and brakes while still mixing the old 70s hub, 70s engine, and obviously the 60s frame. On a lot of our bikes too, we'll always use the old gauges. And if you notice, the whole bike's been refurbished except for the gauges. That's kind of one of our things. You know, a lot of our bikes will do a complete period correct restoration, but we will not really restore the gauges. It kind of just gives it that, here's where it came from, you know, so that's kind of one of our little things that we do.
What was the reaction when you unveiled this bike? I mean, you mentioned that you're not going to sell this bike, but have you had interests of this kind of hybrid being something that you guys could crank out and put on the market?
Yeah, I mean, the heart of what makes Cafe Racers and even the culture so cool is it is a do-it-yourself culture. We're currently developing with a company a frame that we will be selling that's a modern version of the old frame. These frames are brazed with brass, and they're not known for being very strong. We're making the same looking frame with modern geometry with 4130 chromoly that anybody can put any motor in and kind of do themselves. We do offer full custom builds and do commission builds, but we've looked at trying to, you know, we want to get a higher end client to purchase a bike like this and kind of look at it like a piece of art. But I still want everybody who's kind of the same income level as me to be able to buy all my components. So we're very big on developing our own rear sets, which we have on this bike, developing our own, you know, brake levers and handlebars and stuff like that, that, you know, anybody could go out and purchase and build the same thing or mimic what we are into building.
When you're developing a bike like this and you're taking things that have maybe been out there before and you're putting into something that was new and hasn't been, you know, presented in that form, you know, where does the inspiration come for you to put these things together? Is it really just kind of throwing all the parts into a melting pot and see where it comes out? Or is it something a little bit more scientific?
It's definitely a at first for me, you know, I'd say 10 years ago, it just started with ideas of throwing parts in a box and, you know, kind of trying to make it all work. You know, as I've grown, I'd say as a builder, and what's getting us attention now is our scientific approach. We're really big into safety and we're really big into performance. So there's a lot of mathematics and there's a lot of stuff into this bike that at first glance people don't get. It's just, okay, they took that fork, they put those suspension. We spent a lot of time figuring out the geometry and figuring out the weight, the balance and everything like that to get this bike to be very performance oriented and still use the vintage components. As I've been learning more, you learn to, you know, kind of go to that next level. And that's where, you know, what I knew 10 years ago versus what I know now, I think my friends that are musicians say the same thing. It's like you're just constantly getting more creative as you learn more about what you're into. So that's where we are now, is we're trying lots of different things. We also see a lot of things in the market too that we look at and we go, okay, I can make that better, you know. And you hear an old guy go, well, they've been selling that for 30 years, you know. Well, yeah, they've been selling lots of things for 30 years. It doesn't mean it was better, you know. So,
well, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring this up, but I remember when this bike was unveiled on a lot of your social marketing, it was brought to my attention that you were really pushing this bike and saying, hey, come and look at this new bike that we built. We're really trying to get Brad Pitt, the actor, to purchase this bike. Why would you bring that up? Why is Brad Pitt perfect for this bike?
Well, Brad Pitt's kind of like been an inside joke for all of us, mainly because of my wife's infatuation with him and also my admiration for the guy. He's really into motorcycles and cars, and we joke and say, you know, he is kind of the closest thing that my generation has to a Steve McQueen, you know. So he's into art, he's into motorcycles, and to me, you know, to get his attention with something that we built would be really cool, you know. So that's why we always kind of, you know, write him fan mail, and hopefully one day he'll answer.